We are recording.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 3 of Bear Belief. And we are your lovely hosts, Gabriel and Jessica. Hello, Jessica.
Hello, Gabriel.
How's it going?
We're good today.
We're good today. Oh, thank God. Or thank whoever. So it's been a couple weeks. I think we've got our cadence going down. So our intention is to release every 2 weeks, and we're going to do our darndest to keep this cadence going. Again, thank you to everyone who's listened and sent your comments. Feel free to send them. We love hearing from you.
We want to hear like your opinions too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like not just like if this is good or not, but send us your thoughts.
Yeah, are we wrong?
We can totally be wrong.
We probably are. I mean, if, you know.
I am never wrong.
Well, okay. We'll just go with that.
According to me, myself, and I,
we are never wrong.
So last week we started talking about the first 2 weeks of Advent, peace and hope.
Peace and hope.
Peace and hope.
Hope and peace.
Hope and peace. I had a 50% chance. Hope and peace. And this week, we're going to look at joy and love. And that is the right order. It is joy and love.
It is. Yeah. So we need to remember that in Advent, it's not just about the now, right? So after Christ had ascended into heaven, he said he was going to be back. And in coming back, it's this whole time of peace and sort of that paradise life, you know, no more pain, no more suffering, and all of these kind of things. So this is also an anticipation to that. So it's not just now, but for many Christians, it's about getting ready for that phase.
So meaning phase like the Easter phase?
No, meaning like the end of the world phase.
Oh, the end of the world?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's that, you know.
Oh, hold on. Are we saying that we're waiting for the end of the world?
No, we're not waiting for the end of the world. We're waiting for Christ to come back and bring all like a shalom, an ultimate peace to the world.
I don't understand. The end of the world is the world peace? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that no more like war, no more like suffering, so, disease.
So the point of view here is that the end of the world is more like the end of like the world as we know it and not the end of the physical world? Or are we talking the end of the physical world?
I think it depends who you talk to.
Well, there's a people.
Right, there is.
Like there was, we were supposed to have another one the other day. Like, oh, no, you
was too busy to notice.
Well, I think it was last month or maybe like 6 weeks ago where there was going to be these like woohoos who believe in the rapture. I don't know if Anglicans believe in the rapture, but it's.
Well, we believe in Christ coming again, right? And so the rapture is based on revelation,
yeah, but
and all that.
Oh, come on. We had people selling their houses because they thought they were going to be magically sent up into space.
Like, yeah. And again, that comes from, well, I don't know about space, but in revelations that, you know, people are going to be brought to heaven and those who aren't will be left or sent elsewhere. And yeah. So I think for some, it is that whole physical world being blown up and all the good people are going to heaven and all the not so good people or non-believers will just go to hell or purgatory or some other place. That's for some.
But are we talking like an actual event? Because I have recent memory in the last, I would say 3 years, there's been at least 2 incidents or 2 times where people like the internet was ablaze with people predicting the rapture was going to be on Tuesday. And then, of course, Tuesday came and nobody left. So,
yeah, but I think that's where mainstream Christianity, I would like to say, sort of like the Anglicans, the Catholics, the not that all other denominations aren't as rooted, but or even Orthodox, it's not about, it's on God.
But that's a very ethno-Christian, like Northern point of view,
yeah,
to say that these are them, you know.
You're right. Fair enough. So those that I know of, right, I don't have the experience of the Global South and then now the Anglican Church and whatnot works down there. But yeah, so it's of a God's time. It's not our time.
Okay.
So we cannot, you know, have a calendar that has this. And
so what is, like, make it made sense for me. Like, what is the rapture in terms of Anglican?
So it's not, like, you know, it's not a Mad Max, like the world explodes and everything's everywhere, you know, and sort of, I think it's really about just this sort of return to the Garden of Eden, of where everything was a paradise. And we're in that love and peace and hope and joy.
But then you have to accept that there was a Garden of Eden somewhere.
Right. So again, it goes back into that sacred space of being with God in a place where you're not longing, you're not suffering, you're not wanting. It is just in this utopia.
So how does that get to, this is where like, I find it fascinating, like, because there were, and I mean, okay, we're going to bring it back to modern times. Like there were people on TikTok who were making videos about their rapture preparations and how they were like selling all their belongings and giving away their money. And there was even, I saw this thing that it, I thought it was hilarious because of how offended this person was. It's a dog walker who had been contacted by a quote unquote Christian to see if they could take their dog because they suspected that that person wasn't Christian enough to be raptured. So since they weren't Christian enough, but they knew they were good with dogs, well, maybe you could take my dog since I'm going to get raptured and you won't. So do you mind taking care of my dog? So, and that's where I'm like, I don't understand. Like, I don't understand how you can have like that explanation that you just gave us and then have these people who are literally trying to find Chris people that are not Christian enough to
teach. Yeah, well, it goes into that literalism, right? Like that goes back to the whole John 3:16 passage. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Well, no, you know. And so, like, I remember sort of being a kid and someone was like, no, it's like when you die, you have an advocate and Jesus is like your lawyer and will kind of advocate for you to go into heaven. And I'm like, no. So
they think there's like a court proceeding? Like,
well, look, St. Peter at the pearly gates, right? We have all these.
But those are all imageries that were invented by humans. Like, I don't think
it's
like a thing that's written down anywhere or even like.
No, there's no real doctrine that I'm aware of. That happens. But again, people are so trying to be prepared because of this fear of death, right? But I think it's in Matthew and it was Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is upon you. Like now, like you don't have to wait, you know, and it's sort of follow and I am the way. It's the teachings of we keep going back to the three, right? Love yourself, love God, love others. If we can find that way. And for some, in liberation theology, that's what it is, right? So when, in many cultural traditions, to keep someone present is to remember them after they've passed, right? So the stories, the traditions, the rituals, right? So this is sort of Passover, Eucharist, we're keeping Christ present. So in liberation theology, if everybody is doing what we're supposed in that sort of goodwill of each other, then Christ is resurrected because the body, we are the body of Christ. And so therefore we have brought it all back. So is it a physical one? Is it a physical transformation? Maybe. Is it a social one? Is it emotional? Maybe it's a mix of all of it. But I think that's why we keep exploring. And this is where we are to live out those faith, these promises, right? These focus so that that as we're waiting for this thing to happen, we're all participating in the transformation of the now, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. And so that so earlier you said, so we're all preparing for that moment. How does that bring us to the joy component of?
So I had a really awesome dinner with a couple friend and he said, you know what, for this year, I just want to be happy. I'm like, well, what does that mean, being happy? You know, like, well, I want good things. I want to just, you know, really enjoy life and see the good in others and this and that. And I was like, well, do you want to be happy or do you want to have joy? And I go, for me, being happy is temporary. You know, I saw a great movie that made me happy. I went out with my friends that made me happy. But for me, being rooted in joy is that even that when there's chaos around me and again, all that sort of dark times, that that I know in my heart there's good. There is still pleasantries, right? So some people say it's, you know, when I'm with my kid or, but what brought me a great joy was when I was playing rugby. That made me happy because that was fun. But my joyful time was when the kickoff ball would be kicked. And I was always in the position to catch that ball. And it was when that ball was just at the summit. And before it came down, it hangs there. And then it would just come down. And there was just something in that pause that I was like, okay, we're on. You know, and that always just brought me such great joy. Unless I dropped the ball. Right? But that brought me really great joy. And then I think where I learned another part was with my daughter. It was one of her first dance recitals. And their song was Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. The saying, like, dance like nobody's watching is so true. This kid was just took the show away. And not because she was doing all the moves perfect, but she was just loving and just her whole body was expressing that moment of...
It's contagious. That kind of joy is contagious.
Right? So I think, you know, happy is...
So is it more about bringing that contagious joy? Is that how, is that the idea that you want to have, that joy isn't just for you, it's for your community, it's for people around you?
Yeah, like you can kind of feel that. You can feel people's energy in that, right? Like, and like I remember doing day camps and seeing, you know, working with this young woman, but she was always so happy, but it drove me nuts. Like, why are you so happy?
People are so annoying.
Like, stop being so happy. Like, you cannot possibly be this happy all the time. Like, why are you smiling? That kid just spat on you. Like, what are you doing? And unfortunately, in my youth, I didn't have so much tact. And I made her cry. So I guess she wasn't always happy.
Well, you proved her wrong.
I totally proved her wrong. But again, you know, we can hide ourselves in happy, right? We see comedians do it all the time. Robin Williams is a great one. He made everybody happy, but no one knew how much he was suffering, you know? So I think it's when we can push past happy and be in that place of vulnerable and just, because for me, when all these four intersect of hope, peace, joy, and love, it's grace. It's just that moment, like you were talking about when you're walking on the snow. It's just this, like, you can't describe it of anything else. And I think that's what God's grace is. It's just this moment of serenity. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, joy is that it just takes over your whole body. And you're just in this place of, yeah, and no matter what comes, yeah, we're going to have bad days. We can complain about, we can do this and we can do that. But in the end, I'm not rattled.
So, and joy kind of naturally leads us into love a little bit, I find.
Yeah.
Like, I find, like, I don't know how much you can divorce the two from each other. I find it's really hard to have one without the other almost. I can see how they all kind of go together. Mm-hmm. But I can't see myself being miserable and depressed and at the same time having true feelings of love that are genuine and feeling that inside you. Like, to me, that's it's kind of balanced. You know, like we said last time on the last podcast.
Yeah.
They're kind of like two sides of a coin in a certain way.
Yeah. I mean, if you take like a partner relationship, right? I think that's our most visible example of love, right? And I think, you know, the Greeks have three words, right? Philios, Eros, and Agape. You know, so Philios is friends, Eros is sort of that other kind of stuff.
And fun part.
And then Agape is just this unconditional love. And so I think in romantic relationships, like that's why we see so many divorces, right? It's like, I can't keep picking you up. I can't keep, like, there's something, you know, you're different. You're not as happy. You're not as engaged. You're not like, and people just can't seem to reconcile that, right? Like that's the whole terminology, irreconcilable differences, you know? And I think, you know, that's sort of one way to love. But, you know, I once dated someone who said, you know, love is never having to say you're sorry. Well, I think that's also crap.
Oh, that's bullshit. That is a nice way to end yourself in a big breakup. Like,
right. Like, and so that just means, so again, that's getting into that sort of agape. What's unconditional love, right? I think that means that, you know what, no matter what I do, like, God is never going to turn themselves from us, right? But I think the condition is not with God, but with each other. You know, like, we keep, I think there's a difference in having self-interest, which is caring for ourselves, versus being selfish. And I think that's where love gets askew, is when people are being selfish. And some of it could be mental health issues or trauma or these things that we haven't been able to navigate through yet and we are healing from. But then there's just some jerks out there, you know, and I think that's where this global stuff is happening. It's very selfish. You know, it's being labeled under sort of national pride. But this is nothing to do with the people. It has interest to do with it, personal interest.
It ends up being used, like, I don't want to say a shield, but I think, like, the perfect example of that is the crap that we're going through right now in Quebec. Like, so for those of you who are not from Quebec, we have this whole secularism debate that's been happening for a number of years. Our current government seems hell-bent on removing everybody's religious rights. That's my perspective on it. A few years ago, we had a huge, huge secularism bill where it became illegal for civil servants or government employees to have any displays of religious symbols that they called ostentatious. Like, what ostentatious means is always up to debate. And there's a bit of hypocrisy surrounding that because certain symbols are not removed. Like, they kept the cross in the National Assembly, and then there's this whole to-do there. But what it is a veiled way of sanctioning Muslims, if we're going to be honest. Like, that's who the target is. And right now they're proposing a bill in which they're kind of reinforcing that. So, and it's seen as a attack on mostly women and mostly Muslim women, because one of the stipulations now that they have in there is that to ascend to certain positions, you can't wear a veil, you can't have any kind of other symbols of your religion. So let's say if you're, I don't know, working somewhere, you will not be a manager because you wear a veil. So yeah, I think you're right. I think that's where that kind of happens. And my point of view on that is, like, although I understand that we are a secular society, I don't think secularism means that you're preventing people from dressing how they want. So, or wearing a cross or a...
No, I think it's just like that imposition of spiritual beliefs on another group, right?
But it's the same thing. Now you're imposing your non-belief on...
Right, but this is what happened, right? This what stirred it up again was that I believe it was a daycare. Some of the staff were imposing certain beliefs within the kids, but it was just a reason to jump on this bandwagon again, right?
I find that those are distortions that of things that don't really happen in a way. Like, I think a lot, like, there's, like, we have subsidized daycare here, and there's a daycare, like, every 10 blocks. It feels like there's really a lot of daycares. And I don't think that we have a problem in Quebec with our daycares indoctrinating kids into Islam. Like, I don't think that's a problem. It is definitely not a problem. I know so many people who have kids in daycare and nobody's being converted to anything, you know? So I think this is being used as a false flag to stir up national pride and stir up, you know, trying to get some political points, and it's populism. It's
but for who? Like, I don't think we are. I don't think we're in such a manner that it's you or me or whatnot. Like, it's, sort of with it, like, we're.
It's for the Quebecois,
right? Like, more faith groups are trying to work together, and it's not about practices and beliefs. It's about, hey, we need to work together.
It's not about the religion.
No.
It's about controlling the politics and the power. And it's about xenophobia and not liking immigrants. And it has nothing to do with religion. Like, if they were to really examine themselves and think about this a little bit, they'll realize it's coming from a place of hate and from xenophobia, and mostly their misunderstanding of what's happening with Islam. As in,
So, which is, so we were talking, you know, the last couple of weeks about how there's, what did we call it? A yardstick?
Yeah, measuring stick.
A Christian measuring stick?
Christian measuring stick.
This is almost going the other way.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Right? And that, and sort of, but it divides people. So right now in the education system, like I remember growing up, we had MRE, moral religious education. And then my cousin had moral religious instruction. Now, my background is in theology, it's religious studies. And again, how are these beliefs structured and, you know, what sort of that academic element of it? And I think what was great is that I had a teacher that said, you know what, I want you to do a presentation on what are your beliefs, you know, and it was great to just hear where everybody was coming from. Another great teacher, we can only do sort of the 8 world religions ad nauseam. And then she's like, create your own.
Oh, wow.
You know, you've seen all these structures. And so what would that look like to you? And so do you have a deity? Don't you have a deity? Do you have certain holidays? Is there food restrictions and eating conditions and all of that? So again, it got us to open up our mind about diversity, you know, versus, oh, what do you mean you don't eat pork? What do you mean you fast? What do you mean you... You know, it's like, okay, well, tell me more about that. Oh, but you get a really great party. Oh, okay, you know. So instead of exploring these elements of people and we're creating division, you know, how do we create conversation? I think that's what love is about, right? Is understanding each other, you know, and again, fostering that love. And that doesn't mean like being a doormat. It's that respect, you know. Maybe I don't, again, that's the... This is why we do this podcast. I don't have to agree with you.
No, well, we don't agree on a lot.
We don't know why. Well, no. But...
Well, no, but like...
Yeah.
Maybe that...
But we have enough respect to be like, okay, let's keep talking about this or tell me more about that, you know?
I think my... How can I put this? So I think for me, my initial point is that I assume that we're not going to agree on a lot, but then... Upon conversation, we end up finding out, no, we actually see a lot of things the exact same way, which is...
But on the opposite side of...
But on the... Exactly. And it's like it's like almost like our belief systems are vastly different, but like the end result is a lot of times like pointed in the same direction, which is kind of fascinating when you...
Well, I think maybe it comes back to that question, like what's the purpose of life? Like, and I mean, that's a whole other episode.
My God, right. We're never going to get out of here.
But again, like, what is this journey about? And I think that's what we're exploring in this spirituality conversation. And so having joy and peace and hope and love in our life, you know, and not frivolously, but raw, vulnerable, you know, where I really know who I am in this, where I'm sort of putting that out there in a safe way. Mm-hmm. And just trying to foster that. And I think for me, that's what Advent's about. Because we're going to be waiting a long time. Now, I don't know about you, but I am not a good waiter. I wasn't a good waiter in a restaurant, and I can't...
I have zero patience for anything. Right. Like, patience for me is a practice. Like, it's something that I have to constantly work on.
Yeah. And so I think that... Again, this sort of brings us back into that discipline of anticipating and learning patience and not just that immediate gratification, you know, because again, that I think that kind of goes into that happy bottle box, right? If it's immediate, it's done, it's great. But now what? Mm-hmm. You know, and we can't keep chasing the short term. We need to really start looking like, what brings me joy? And if, you know what, sitting watching TV is not bringing me joy, I'm bored, I'm drained, I'm this, then what brings me joy? Okay, I really like painting, making the time for that. You know what? Friends say all the time, we all have this, especially at our ages, oh, we should get together. You know, it would be nice if I could see you next year more. Well, those are conditional verbs.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's just a way to kind of appease our guilt in the situation. Like, hey, I care about you, but, you know, I just can't make enough time. So I never say that. I'll be like, if someone's like, we should get together, I'm like, okay, when would you like to do that? Oh, but you're so busy. I'm like, never to make time for people. So when would you like to do that? And And in some ways, my cheeky way of calling out, or it's a kick in the butt that's like, hey, let's do this.
True. This is how we ended up with this podcast, because we actually made, like, what you guys don't know is that we've been talking about this for way longer than we've been doing it, because it took a while for us to get our stuff together. And we were meeting like, okay, well, we'll meet, and like, oh, we'll meet in 2 months. And it really took a long time. But you did do that. And I do the same thing where I like get people to put down dates because like, otherwise, like, what are we doing? Like,
yeah.
We're not. And I just had someone cancel on me for this week, who is someone that I actually really appreciate, and who's also very hard to pin down. But I don't know. Now I'm questioning this whole, that whole relationship with him. I'm wondering, like, is this one of these situations where do I love myself enough to let go of that kind of link, you know? Like, because I'm like, yeah, this feels like too much work. Like, this feels forced. This is no longer, I don't know.
Yeah, but I think that's accountability, and you can have these conversations, right? I think that's sort of the discernment, is it worth me to have this talk? And I've done it with my girls so many times, and I don't mean my kids because I only have one, but my friends, and I'm just like my core girlfriends. And again, I live on island, they live off island, and always seem to have the time to hang out. But I'm like, why aren't you calling me? You know what?
You know what's funny is that we set up this date because I, in my mind, I was giving him one last chance, where I messaged him and I was like, hey, I miss you. I haven't seen you for a long time. I like spending time with you. And, you know, I was very clear as to like why I was reaching out. And now that he canceled, I'm like, okay, you know what?
Yeah. So you've given that.
So I've given it,
that line. And
I think I'm done.
Yeah. And I think that's okay. And I don't think it has to be dramatic or a big breakup.
No.
You know.
And this is not a big breakup, by the way. This is a friend who we've been friends for quite a while. But it's like, I'm like, at this point, I'm like, you know what? I think maybe this has just, we've outgrown it, maybe? I don't know. It's hard to say.
I don't know if we outgrow friends. I think
sometimes we do.
I think there are some, yes. But I think we are drawn on different paths for some reasons, either learnings or whatnot. And if we come back, it could be cool. Or if not, like, I think, but then you have to relearn each other again. You can't presume you're that person that was. But no, I'm not one to keep a lot of friends sort of tagging along.
Someone, I always wonder if someone has to love the other person more. Like, there's always like, is that always equal? I don't think it is. Like, I wonder sometimes, like, because I have the weirdest, like,
does it have to be equal or reciprocal?
I think it has to be reciprocal is important. But like, I always wonder, like, and this is okay, now we're getting to a glimpse of how messed up my mind is. So because I'm very analytical. So I will analyze people's behaviors, sentences, words, laughs. Like, I will run scenarios in my head of like all these things that have happened. And then I go into this analysis mode where I think, maybe I like this person more than that person likes me because they did this and then this. And I was like, I think that person likes me more than I like them. And it's because I just analyze things and that's just how my brain works. And I think this is a situation where I think I really liked him a lot more maybe than he liked me. And I was pushing that relationship further than it would have gone if I had seen that coming later.
Yeah, if you weren't initiating.
And for me, that's a tough realization because it brings out all my insecurities about like how I operate in the world. So, yeah. So I think, yeah. And it's an interesting part of the love equation where like love isn't always where you think it's going to go in a certain way, you know?
Yeah. And so one thing my therapist said, and I think it was great, and I'm still wrestling with it. Sometimes people's reaction aren't about us.
Like, oh, it's usually not.
Right. And so, which creates an interesting dynamic with you where you're trying to overanalyze and see where you are in it when it's not about you. It, you know, it's just habit they have, or they're just not appreciating friendships, or.
True.
Right. So I think, and I think that's where, you know, our themes come into. You know, so that is, I hope to give, and I can't give you these things, but I hope you get these gifts of hope.
Well, these I hope so too. Really, and I hope you get them. And I hope our audience members get them. So I will take this moment to wish everybody a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Festivus, Happy Hanukkah, whatever.
And the equinox.
Is it the solstice or the equinox? The solstice, yeah. Okay. Happy solstice. The solstice is coming. So for all of you celebrating any one of those things, we hope you get everything you want and that you will join us again in 2 weeks where we're going to talk about, we'll see what we're going to talk about. We'll find out later.
Surprise!
In the meantime, if you want to support us, subscribe. You can do that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Just look for Bear Belief and we are there. If you want to send us comments, you can do so by email, bearbeliefpodcast@gmail.com, or you can just go on our website, bearbelief.ca. There's a comment form there, and you can also listen to our podcast there if you would like. So that was it. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you, Gabriel.
Thank you, everybody, and we will see you all in 2 weeks.